Welcome to part two of the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen, and in this segment, we'll be talking with Dr. Kirschenbaum. Now, Dr. Kirschenbaum is a neuroscientist, a doula, an author, infant and family sleep specialist, and a mom. She'll be talking about International Play Day today, coming up on June 11th. We'll first hear a song by Jonas Blue, Galantis, and Zoe Weiss, and the song is called Mountains, and we'll hear the interview with Dr. Kirschenbaum right after the song, so please stay tuned.
Took a shot in the dark, just to know where we are. I've been running since yesterday. Wrote three words in the sand so that you'd understand. I'll be here when they fade away. No, all I need is your love again. Nothing beats you when our hearts can feel like we're on the edge. We're on the edge. I'll be moving mountains, mountains for you. Baby, I'll move mountains just to show I love you. Nothing makes me feel as strong as you do. Baby, I'll move mountains just to show I love you. Just to show I love you. Just to show I love you.
For the Townships at 12 on the Cube, and today I'm talking with Dr. Kirschenbaum. Now, Dr. Kirschenbaum has a PhD in medical science and neuroscience from the University of Toronto, and for over 15 years, she has studied how genetics and experience shape the brain, the nervous system, and the body to influence lifelong mental and physical health. So welcome, Dr. Kirschenbaum.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
And today I thought we would talk about International Day of Play. So that's something new to me. I haven't heard of that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, play is so fantastic for the brain, the developing brain of babies and children, and also for adults. So it's so wonderful that we're recognizing it and starting to celebrate it.
When did this day come about, and what was the inspiration behind it?
I'm not exactly sure how long it's been. Actually, this is the first year I've heard of it, but it has captured my attention. And why is it important? So it's important as a source of joy. We often don't appreciate how beneficial fun, play, laughter, joy, and connection can be. And those can all act on the parts of our brain that are involved in our mental health and our well-being in a really positive way. So that's one big one. And then the other one that a lot of people in society are really interested in is learning, right? Especially when it comes down to our babies and children. And we've actually shown through research that play makes learning exponentially faster. So if we're going to learn something, it might take about 100 repetitions if it's without play. But with play, we could learn it in as many as like 20 repetitions.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now, what are some different types of play and how do they benefit children differently?
Mm-hmm. So my expertise is in babies, but it extends all the way through childhood and adulthood. It really transcends all ages. One of the most important for babies and children and the growing brain is play with a social connection. And so, you know, with little ones, we always talk about face-to-face play. In my book, The Nurture Revolution, I talk about it as, I call it a baby chat, but it could also just be a person chat, right? A parent and child chat. And essentially in those kind of setups, we're taking our child in, watching them, watching if they're going to laugh or talk or make a noise or make a physical movement. And we sort of see that as a serve, and then we can return to them with a responsive movement or vocalization or something like that. That would be more for a baby. For an older child as well, it's really important to let them invite us into their world of play. And so a similar kind of thing where they initiate something and we go back and forth and keep eye contact, keep our presence, keep our attention, and stay in the moment. In those moments, our brains actually connect with one another and they synchronize in activity. And a huge part of the benefit of play is to have that connected, synchronous brain.
I think staying in the moment is probably one of the biggest challenges for adults. So that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. It requires us to do it intentionally. You know, we have so many distractions, including our phones, including our busy lives. And it is really important. I think that's one of the biggest messages of this day and of this whole movement is to just be really intentional a few times a day with our children and to put our phones away, put them to sleep and show up and be as present as possible. It will really, really help our children grow and develop their mental health and all different types of learning and also ourselves as adults. It's a sort of a form of mindfulness practice for us to do that.
Okay. Can you share some examples of activities that families can do together on International Day of Play?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially now that it's really nice out. I can give some examples in my own life that we've been doing this weekend with my little guy. We have been doing lots of gardening. So now that it's springtime, it would be lovely to be outside. Nature adds an extra element of relaxation and benefit to the brain as well. And we've just really been present together, sort of how I mentioned, and play does kind of come out with that. So going to a green space, you know, you could bring some sports equipment if that's what you like, but part of the play could simply just be exploring. Like, can we find five colorful things right now? Let's go on a little adventure walk and find them. And having that sort of open-ended kind of setup is really beneficial for children, and they'll initiate a lot of play. They might initiate some imagination games. It's a great thing to do this time of year.
Mm-hmm, certainly. With the increasing presence of technology in children's lives, how can parents ensure there's a healthy balance between screen time and physical play?
Yeah, so important. So actually, one great suggestion is when the spring weather comes on in the month of May, it's fantastic to have some weeks or days or even a whole month of screen free. It really resets the family and can really help. We're doing that. We always do screen free May in my house. It's actually been brought on by my son's school, and it's fantastic for kids and adults. So since, you know, we're so much inside in the winter months, we want it still balanced screen and screen free, but once the nice weather comes on, it's a great reset to sort of take a little bit of time off. It could be a week, like I said. It could be a few days. It could be that whole month. But if you just say, we're going to go back to practicing our screen-free play for a time, it can really just take the screens out as a factor for a little bit of time. And then we can be much more mindful when we bring them back in. And so I would say, you know, deciding in your family when the screens are going to be the most useful, I would say, and really trying to be quite boundaried with it. We decided a certain time of day or a certain amount of time each day to try to really stick with it. That can really, really be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to ask you how communities and schools can promote the importance of play, and you mentioned that your son's school mentioned the screen-free May Day sometime in May.
That's right. How schools can get involved. Well, yeah, I think setting those examples of having goals like that for the school-wide, it really, really works. It's fantastic because so in this challenge in the school, if the child does zero screens for a whole month, they get a gold medal. And if they decide to do a family movie on the weekend, they can choose that too, and then they would get a silver medal. So it kind of easier because they know that they're gonna, you know, they're working towards a goal. Everybody's in it together, and it's really like a fun thing they're all doing. And they're also kind of sharing the new things that they're doing, like gardening, like puzzles, like, you know, coloring, all the things that they're doing that they might not have been doing otherwise. The other things that schools can do that my son's school does as well is really educate the children and parents on the brain benefits of having screen-free play time as well. And so the children can kind of notice, like, oh, my brain actually does feel a little different. It's kind of, maybe it feels better in some ways in certain times after activities that aren't based on screens. And the kids really notice it.
Can incorporating play into daily routines help mitigate stress and improve mental health outcomes in not only children, but adults too?
Absolutely, absolutely. Children's language is play. It is fantastic to incorporate it in all of our daily routines. You know, some of the more challenging times can be getting out of the house first thing in the morning, and sometimes at the end of the day, getting dinner and bedtime going. So incorporating play into that is always really helpful. And ways we can do it is sort of making little games, sort of like, do you want to hop to the table like a bunny or gallop there like a horse and see what happens, right? Depending on the age of your child, kind of framing things like that can really, really be helpful.
Okay. Now, long-term benefits of maintaining a balance between mental health awareness and the encouragement of play. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the balance between the two. I mean, I think play is something that is often put aside as we grow up. And to stay young at heart, you know, that also includes our mental health, our physical health. Play is so important to keep as a constant in our lives. And you know, often that will be an effort, but once we can kind of be more aware of it, to know that keeping it as part of our maintenance of our health is essential, and it's also just keeping us happier, right, at the same time. So it's worth the effort for sure.
Mm-hmm. Any examples of the importance of play for adults whose children have grown up or who don't have children?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We see lots of brain benefits as well. So when we do play, it's engaging a really specific, you know, set of circuitry in our brain, and it releases feel good hormones like dopamine, endorphins, all these kinds of wonderful things, oxytocin when we connect with others during play. And all of those are really protective for our stress system, absolutely benefit our mental health. And so it's fantastic for people of all ages who do or don't have children to take an examination of your life. What was fun when you were little? What was your favorite type of play when you were little? Maybe we return to something like that. Maybe it's drawing. Maybe it's something physical, riding a bike, doing a group class, watching comedy, right? It's really important to sort of note that, but also maybe discovering new things when you're at different ages too. But I always want adults, as part of their brain health, to sort of know what their basic needs are. And play, connection with others, is a basic need of ours. And so if that need isn't being met in some way, it is going to have detrimental effects on our stress and mental health. So it is super, super important to pay attention to.
Great advice. Let's talk a bit about your book, The Nurture Revolution.
That's right.
Could you elaborate on the book a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So my book is based on my experience as a neuroscientist and also as a doula and a mother. And I found it just absolutely necessary to bring this message out into the world after my career in neuroscience. And the message is that the experience that we have between 0 to 3 years old is incredibly important for lifelong mental health. Almost all of our brain systems that form our mental health are built between ages 0 and 3 years. So my book does an overview of that science. It does an overview of how the parent brain also undergoes tremendous neuroplasticity when we have babies 0 to 3. And it offers lots of guidance for how to maximize nurturing experience in those years and thereby creating lifelong mental health for babies.
Okay, that's wonderful. Anything else you'd like to add, Dr. Kirschenbaum?
Yeah, I would love to add that I've got lots of free resources on my website, which is nurture-neuroscience.com, that can help people who have babies, who are thinking about having babies, and also for adults, right, to help coach adults. So there's lots of free resources there, and I've got lots of courses and things like that as well.
Okay, that's wonderful. Well, we thank you so much for the interview, Dr. Kirschenbaum, International Day of Play, on Mental Health Awareness Month, the month of May. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Feels like I've been running for most of my life. Then I've looked up, seen what has passed me by. Had this dream one early morning that you walked in when I walked out. Then I woke up. Say I've stood for rights but lost most the same, cause my heart just broke in so many ways. And I fell right from the treetops and you walked in when I walked out. Then I woke up. But if I stay like this, what could become of everything dear that I have done? Like dam and rivers that lead to seas, I gotta trust that some new love will find its way back to me, back, yeah. And it feels like I'm still running through most of my days, but I know slow and steady I'm making change. Had this dream that there's one evening when I call it anger, God, it makes me smile. And now I sit real quiet before going on stage. And although my heart broke in so many ways, and I don't have all the answers, but I know now I can be expressions of love. But if I stay like this, what could become of everything dear that I have done? As sure as rivers the lead to seas, I gotta trust that some new love will find its way back to me, back, yeah. I'm making change of what was and who I was. I'm making space for new love, for new love to come. I'm making change of what was, who I was. I'm making space for new love, for new love to come. I'm making change of what was, who I was. I am. I'm making space for new love, for new love to come. I'm making change of what was, who I was. I'm. I'm making space for new love, for new love to come. For new love, for new love to come.
And we just heard a song from Ziggy Albert, and the song is called New Love.
And here's our health news for today. Taking good care of your animals, whether livestock or pets, is important for every owner. But it's hard to do that if you don't have all the facts. Dr. Mary Jane Ireland, Canada's chief veterinary officer, tells us about a serious risk for pigs that everyone should know about called African swine fever, or ASF. ASF is a viral disease that cannot be transmitted to humans and is not a food safety risk, but it's almost always deadly for any type of pig. The disease can spread to them through contact with other infected pigs or their bodily excretions, contaminated pork products, farm equipment, feed and clothing. Biosecurity measures are preventative measures put into place to keep animals healthy and are the most important ways to prevent ASF outbreaks on Canadian farms. While Canada is currently ASF-free, it continues to spread globally, threatening our pig herds and pork industry. Find out more information on the Canadian Inspection website at canada.ca/CFIA. And that's some health news from the Canada News segments. I'd like to thank my guest today, Ingrid Carden, professor at Champlain Regional College in Lennoxville in the Special Education Techniques Department. She's also a social worker and a licensed physiotherapist. And I'd like to thank my guest in the second half of today's show, Dr. Greer Kirschenbaum, neuroscientist, doula, author, mom, and infant and family sleep specialist and author. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great day. And we'll close out with a song by David Miles. The song is called I Believe Anything.
I believe anything for at least 5 minutes. Then I close my eyes and I find the truth. I believe anything for at least 5 minutes. Then I close my eyes and I find the truth. Then I close my eyes. I listen to the birds sing, so high and clear. And I close my eyes and listen to the birds sing. Every other conversation just seems to disappear. I believe anything for at least 5 minutes. Then I close my eyes and I find the truth. I believe anything for at least 5 minutes. Then I close my eyes and I find the truth. Then I close my eyes and listen to my kids laugh. When I listen to my kids laugh, it's all just joy. When I close my eyes and listen to my kids laugh, every other conversation just seems like noise.